Okay. That's good. That's good. That's good. That's good. Calm down. They're confused on TV. They don't know what you're doing. Oh, no. Yeah, that's cute. Thank you. Appreciate that, Pastor. Louisville, Dallas, Prosper, welcome. Good to see you this morning. that video always throws me off because it's so dramatic that that it'll make sense in a little while. But we are in a series called Demo Days. If you're not here last week or this is your first time, Pastor Conway started a series last week called Demo Days, Myths That Make You Miserable. And so we're going to be addressing some things we believe that are not accurate that actually make us feel miserable. Last week, it was the myth that God does not care about you. And he talked about the story of Lazarus, how Mary and Martha at some point thought, you know, Jesus, he's not coming through for us because he could have healed our brother and now our brother's dead. But then we realized at the end of the story that it was all for God's glory and that God wanted to reveal a new aspect of who he was, not just healer, but he's one that can resurrect from the dead. And so we dispelled that myth. Today, I want to talk about a myth that makes every one of us miserable. I'm telling you, every day of the week, I sit in my office and I talk to people who are miserable in their current circumstance. And so they want relief from their current circumstance, but I'm convinced that they're miserable now because they have bought into this myth. I believe the myth I'm going to talk about today is the reason that many of you are stuck in a rut right now. I believe the myth I'm going to talk about today is the source of many of you, the reason you're not growing spiritually. I believe the myth I'm going to talk about today is the source of a lot of your emotional pain. I'm convinced that the myth I'm going to talk about today is the source of a lot of your relational pain today. I'm convinced of all of that in this one little myth that we've bought into somewhere along the line. And then here's what we do on top of that. We actually support this myth with scripture and song. Out of context, of course, but we support this myth. And so here's the myth. It's not earth-shattering. When I say it, you're going to be like, eh, but just stay with me today. The myth is simply this. It is the phrase, leave the past behind. Just leave it behind. Here's the theory behind it. What's in the past is in the past. So what's back there, we don't need to bring it up again. Let bygones be bygones. Listen, we got enough issues today. We don't need to go back and talk about the past anymore. Let's just leave it where it's supposed to be. We don't want to deal with that. That's the myth. In fact, I'm not going to name which one. My wife and I have three daughters, and one of them used to do this all the time. I'm not going to say which one. It may have been the middle one. But she used to always say this, when I would address a behavior, and I would reference maybe yesterday. And so I would talk about her behavior today, and she would make up some excuse, and I'd say, this is not the only time. You also did this Wednesday, if you remember. To which she would always reply, well, that's in the past. Why are you always bringing up the past? And I'd be like, it was yesterday. I didn't get to talk to you yesterday because you were asleep when I got home, so I'm addressing it today. But that was her favorite thing. Why always bringing up the past? Because it's relevant to your behavior today. So I want to talk about this myth of leave the past behind because I think it's making a lot of us miserable. And then we support it with scripture. So, you know, stuff like 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, they're a new creature. The old is gone. Behold, new things have come. See, I told you, preacher, it's in scripture. Leave the old behind. I'm a new creation. Don't bring up the old stuff anymore. Then we sing songs. I'm not going back. I'm moving ahead. I'm here to declare to you, my past is over in you. See, I'm not saying that's bad theology, but I'm saying at times we've twisted. Here's my favorite one that we like to quote in Philippians chapter 3. Paul says this in verses 13 and 14. Brethren, you always know when he starts out a verse with brethren, that it's like extra spiritual. It's got a little extra in it. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. That sounds so good. See, you say, I told you, Pastor. Even Paul, the greatest Christian of all time, said, I leave behind what's behind and I reach forward for what's ahead. Come on, super Christian. Here's what Paul's talking about. Go back to verse 4 of that. So you do know when you find a couple verses you really like, it's helpful to read the chapter before it and the stuff that comes after it so you know what the person's actually talking about, so you don't just get to claim a nice verse. Verse 4, Paul says, although I myself might have confidence even in the flesh, if anyone else has a mind to put confidence in the flesh, I far more. Paul's bragging. He's saying, listen, you may think you're awesome, but if anybody can count on their own works, I'm better than you. Then he tells us why. Circumcised the eighth day, of the nation of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. So when you talk about lineage and ethnicity, can't touch him. He says, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to the righteousness which is in the law, found blameless. So he said, listen, if you want to go by lineage, I got you. If you want to go by pedigree, resume, I got you. If you want to go by energy and zeal and passion, I'm tearing Christians up, throwing them in jail, killing them. He said, you want to go by the law? I keep it all better than you. I'm a rule follower. Then he says, but whatever things were gained to me, those things I've counted as loss for the sake of Christ. So Paul's context for I'm leaving behind and I'm pressing forward is what he's leaving behind is a works-based righteousness. What he's leaving behind is salvation based on my own works. He's leaving a bad theology behind so that he can grab on to the real theology, which is the gospel of grace in Jesus Christ, that I'm saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. That's what he's leaving behind, not your foolishness and your past. That's the context of what he's doing. So what I would like to propose today is this myth of, hey, we all just need to leave the past behind. I believe that that is the source of the majority of your issues. I believe that most of your present misery is tied to your past experiences. I believe that the most of your present relationship issues are tied to your past relationship issues. So we can't simply leave the past behind, because many of you, your past is what's making you miserable now. And so we've got to figure out what that looks like. So think about your current financial issues. A lot of your financial issues are because of your past financial beliefs and attitudes. So some of you, you're broke right now. You don't have a budget right now, because in the past you grew up entitled. Someone gave everything to you, and then you grew up with that mindset. And so right now, even though your income and your expenses don't match up, you're going to keep spending because you're entitled because of how you grew up. So some of you grew up broke. And because you grew up broke, now every time money hits your account, it's spent, because you're going to spend it before someone else can take it. You don't trust nobody. Some of you are so broke now that you save everything. You won't spend money on stuff you legitimately need to spend money on. You make your kids heat up water in the microwave because that's cheaper than if they run the faucet long enough till the water to get hot. You've run the numbers. Your behavior today is shaped by your upbringing financially. Some of you, your parenting issues today are because of the childhood you grew up in. You know the way you go off on your kids now, the way your mom used to go off on you. You know, some of you, the way that you're so hard and critical of your children now, because the home you grew up in was performance-based. And so you need to find your identity even now, your approval even now, by your kids being the best. They're the best athletes. They're the best scholars. They're the best looking. They have the best stuff, because you left the past behind. Some of you, your relational issues right now, The reason every one of your relationships keeps failing is because of your jealousy and mistrust. Because you couldn't count on the people you grew up with, and so you're sure not going to trust somebody now. Did I leave anybody out yet? I'm just getting warmed up. If I miss you, I'm going to come down your lane pretty soon. Here's my point. The myth of leave the past behind is making us miserable today. And so we've got to figure out, what does Scripture say about this idea of leaving the past behind? And then here's what breaks my heart. I'm going to say this as a disclaimer. If you're a counselor in here, don't get mad at me. I'm with you. I'm a licensed counselor, but I've said this before. I believe the whole counseling industry is a concession for what the church has not done well, okay? So I'm saying that as a counselor. That's not an attack. But here's the sad part to me. What happens with a lot of Christians now is we find ourselves in misery and with issues, and so we go to see a therapist. That's a great thing to do. I'm not against that. We offer counseling here at the church. But what happens is somebody goes and sees a therapist, and the therapist is able to connect their present issues with their past relationship and family of origin issues. And all of a sudden, they're like, oh, there's a connection between the past I tried to leave behind and the present that I'm dealing with now. But they walk away from that experience kind of confused, because they say, I have faith, but it seems like I found my freedom in a therapist. And so I've talked to people who actually feel bad. They feel guilty. They feel like finding the success and the freedom and the answers in therapy was somehow unspiritual or exhibited a lack of faith. And so they're confused about what happened, because it should have been my faith, according to the Bible, that found me freedom. But I didn't find it there, because I had a lot of well-meaning Christians that when I'd try to talk about my present issues would just tell me things like, you're a new creation, leave it behind. That's not you, just go get over it, just move past it. And so there's confusion in their mind, but it's because we have a wrong, erroneous biblical perspective on it. The Bible lays out for us how we're supposed to find this freedom. But people are not finding it there, because we're giving them well-meaning sayings and things like that. So let's go back. My desire today is simply to reset our mindset on this leave the past behind mentality with a biblical foundation. So let me bring us back to Paul again, what he was saying in verse 13 and 14 of Philippians 3. He said, brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Paul is not telling us, just leave the past behind. He's actually modeled for us what I want to talk about today. He's modeled for us the idea of grabbing his past, bringing it into the light to confess it, so that he can deal with it and press forward into it. So if you remember verses 4 through 8, what he does is he brings his resume up and confesses it. He said, listen, all of this stuff used to be my identity. This is what I depended on. This is what I was zealous about. But I bring that and I confess that, because that's not what it's all about. Then he takes the darkness of his past. I used to persecute Christians. I used to put them in jail. I used to kill them. I used to do all this stuff in the darkness. And he doesn't cover it, but he brings it into the light and he confesses it. He says, listen, all this stuff back in the past, I'm bringing to the light of Jesus Christ so I can confess it. And only then can I move forward into the calling that God has for me. So here's what I want to do today. It's real simple. I'm going to look at 5 ways that we in our lives can destroy the myth of leave the past behind. And in turn, we will make our present life no longer miserable, but we'll be able to walk out what God has called us to. So here's number one. The first thing we need to do to destroy the myth of leaving the past behind is, number one, we need to expose darkness. Yeah, I knew that one would be quiet. The first biblical directive that we're given here is we need to expose darkness. And some of you are sitting here and you're saying, yeah, so based on my life, if you knew the darkness in my past, the things I've done, the things that have been done to me, the thought of exposing that to the light, that's terrible. That's the worst idea I've ever heard. That I don't want the stuff back there exposed into the light. But Scripture tells us that that's exactly what we have to do with the stuff that is behind us. So the Bible is not concerned with when it happened. So understand the Bible's perspective. Our time perspective is past, present, future. The Bible, the biblical perspective is more of a eternal present, meaning the perspective is eternity, but the focus is now. So God could care less if your darkness was 2 days ago or 20 years ago. What God cares about is how is your soul today, and have you dealt with the darkness of the past? So have you denied it and left it, or are you willing to bring it into the light? There's only two options when you look at your darkness, two options for you. You can cover it, or you can confess it. That's the only two options. So think about right now, those sin patterns that nobody knows about, you've never shared with anybody. You have two options. You can continue to cover it, or you can confess it. Think about the thing that happened to you when you were a child that you've never told anybody because of the shame of it. You have two options. You can cover it, or you can confess it. There's only two options. The Bible is only concerned about what you are willing to do with the darkness in your past. Are you going to cover it, or are you going to confess it? Here's what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 11 through 13. He says, "Do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them. For it is disgraceful even to speak of things which are done by them in secret. But all things become visible when they are exposed by the light. For everything that becomes visible is light." So confession is you bringing the darkness into the light so that God can work his transforming power over your darkness. That's what confession is all about. We've got to bring it up. And so many times what happens is we continue to cover our darkness, and when we do, it makes it impossible for us to recognize the motives that we have today that are actually tied to negative darkness in the past. And sometimes the world rewards it. Some of you are being rewarded on your jobs for your, what I would call, an unhealthy overambition. And they would say, good job. They'll pat you on the back. They'll give you raises. But the problem is, if you really look at your motive, it's an unhealthy ambition driven by the need to still try to find approval from mom and dad that you never got. And it's like a moving target. You'll never be satisfied. Even if you become president of your current company, all of a sudden that company won't be big enough and you'll see something else because you're trying to earn the approval that you never had in the past. We have internal motives that if we don't expose them, will continue to make our present miserable. Some of you in here have a habit of continuing to sabotage every relationship you've ever been in.
Yes, sir.
I'm sensing something over here. The reason you're sabotaging it is because you've not dealt with the darkness, and so there's a hidden motive. It's not that you don't want relationship, but because of the pain of the abandonment and rejection you felt as a kid, you'd rather drive somebody away than open your heart to them and have them walk away and feel the pain again. You don't deal with the darkness, and the motives today continue to make your life miserable. See, many of our unhealthy motives in our lives are driven by darkness from the past that we've never brought to the light. And so if the darkness of our souls is never brought to the light, we will continue the patterns year after year after year after year. You can't leave the past behind. You've got to expose the darkness. Number two, you've got to forgive others. One way that we don't leave the past behind is we've got to forgive others. And I'm going to, this is obvious. I don't want to insult your intelligence, but I just need to state the obvious, just in case some of you doze off, I know, during church. And so if you woke up, we're on point two, is forgive others. And forgiving others inherently always deals with the past. Because something has had to have happened to me in order for me to forgive, unless you're like running around prophetically forgiving people in, on the front end, right? I forgive you now for what you may do in the future. Most of the time, we're forgiving somebody. And in order to forgive somebody, we have to recognize what's been done to us. We have to name what's been done to us. We have to assign guilt to a certain party who's done it to us. So we have to go back in the past, and we have to get the thing, and we have to bring it to the present in order to forgive somebody for what has happened inside of us. But what does that look like? Well, thanks for asking, Paul. Ephesians 4:32. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. I love it because Paul could have just said, hey, listen, you need to forgive because you've been forgiven, period. That would have been enough. But Paul says, there's a way that we do it. And there's a heart around forgiveness. He says that you're kind to one another. He says that you're tender-hearted. God is always concerned about our heart. Listen, you do need to forgive because you've been forgiven much. And it's biblical. But it also matters how you forgive. Like, you can be like, I forgive you because I have to. God forgave me, I forgive you. Which on my side, I'll receive that all day long. I'll be like, thank you. You probably need to deal with your anger and resentment. But I appreciate the forgiveness. Paul says there's a heart issue behind forgiveness. Your heart should be tender. And listen, if you have not forgiven people for what they've done to you, I promise you, it shows right now. I know this isn't you, so we'll talk in the third person. Maybe somebody you work with who can't stand their superior. It doesn't matter who the boss is. They can't stand them. And no matter who the boss is, they're going to argue with them about everything, trivial things. It don't matter who, they're going to buck up against the system. Do you know why? Because they're asking that person to pay a debt because they grew up in a family where mom and dad always had the upper hand in every conversation, always put them down, always controlled the situation. And so for the rest of their lives, because they haven't forgiven that, they're going to buck up against every authority figure in their life. You ever dealt with somebody that always has to have the last word? It's like, you're done, but that one more jab, one more stab, they always got to get in. Same thing. That was somebody who was controlled their whole life growing up. And so now nobody's going to control them. I don't even care if you're right and the conversation's done. They got one more thing, even if it's a grunt. So you know that I know that I ended it, not you. That's because of unforgiveness in the past that is now preventing them from walking in right relationship in the present. So for you, unforgiveness demands that you get somebody to pay the debt that the person you didn't forgive you think still owes. Let me bring it home contextually. So we've got, my wife and I have three daughters, and we've got another daughter that's default adopted for us. So she's older, but she's just always been almost a daughter to us. Lived with us at different times in Houston for a few years and Dallas for a few years. I was trying to help her get going in business that she was doing. She was doing styling, and styling requires that you buy some clothes, whether it's to help somebody shoot a music video or something, and then whatever clothes they keep, they pay for, and then you return the other clothes. So it requires credit. She didn't have none, so I helped her. So we shared a credit card. The credit card balance kept getting higher. I had conversations about it. Kept getting higher. And then I started seeing stuff on there that I didn't think that she should be doing. Eating out at nicer places than I'm eating out at. Hair costing way too much. So I finally cut the card. I was bitter about that. But I like to think I'm a forgiving person, so I forgave. Fast forward a little while, some things went on in her life, and she needed to come back and have a place to stay. So we brought her in, so I said, this is a perfect opportunity. I need you to get a job. I need you to pay me back. So now the sum of money is a good value. So I'm still thinking I'm a forgiving guy. Then I started noticing something. When she got a job at Neiman Marcus, and When she would come in the house sometime, right when I walked in our house we used to live in, she was in the office, first door to the right. That was her bedroom now. So I look in the office and sometimes I see bags in there. Like, I haven't gotten paid lately. So we had a conversation. I said, hey, you looks like you're trying to wait till you got a bigger sum to give me. Give me like $20 a week just to make me feel like we're making some progress. Then I found myself, bitterness started to set in. So I walk in, I see like a little Panera bread bag or something. I know she's got to eat, okay? So just go with me. But I was like, oh, she got some Panera bread today. I'm thinking, you could have ate at Taco Bell for $3 and given me the $8 difference. That's what I'm starting to think. Now I'm starting to get angry. It got to a point where anything attached to her, so I would drive by a Panera Bread store and get mad. I'd walk in the mall and I'd be like, I ain't going to Neiman Marcus. I can't afford it anyway, but I'm not going in there. So anything that I would see attached, people with her name, I don't like. I realized that I was being captivated by my unforgiveness. That it was not just affecting me and her, it was affecting where I ate, the clothes I would wear, and I could go through a whole litany. We'd be here all day if I went through the litany of stuff that reminded me of the debt that she owed me. I had to work through that forgiveness. I could tell you today, she ain't never paid me back. If you're watching online, whenever is fine. I'm not even charging interest. But I can tell you today that I've forgiven, for real forgiven, and so nothing about it bothers me 1 ounce at all anymore. But many of us, because of unforgiveness, of some things that are of way more depth even than just some money, what I talked about. Some damage that's been done, some abuse that's been done that we have not forgiven is causing us today to be miserable and have unhealthy relationship with others because we're charging others for a debt that we feel like they owe. We can't just leave that in the past. We've got to go grab it so that we can forgive others. Number three, the third thing we've got to do to fight against leaving the past behind is we have to heal brokenness. You've heard that phrase, time heals. Yeah, that's exactly. I'm not sure. I mean, I get it, like over time, the pain lessens a little bit. But I can tell you from experience that active, proactive, trying to heal time is much more healing than just passive, I'm waiting on healing time. The Bible's clear in Psalm 34, it says that God heals the brokenhearted, that he saves those who are crushed in spirit. See, but here's the problem. The primary way that God heals brokenness is through his church. It's through his people. That's what was supposed to be happening in the church. That's why I said counseling is just a concession for what the church wasn't doing. Scripture has mandated that we're supposed to be healing one another as the body of Christ. Here's what Peter says in 1 Peter 4. He says, above all, keep fervent in your love for one another. That's not just when it's convenient. Fervency is an effort. Fervency is intentionality. He says, because love covers a multitude of sins. We're supposed to be covering one another with our love. How many times are we just uncovering each other out of bitterness? How many times are we just exposing the other person, not for their healing, but because we're tired of them? Love covers a multitude of sins. He says, be hospitable to one another without complaint. That means you don't bring them in and then complain, just like I just did. I confess and repent. As each one has received a special gift, you all know you have a special gift. Employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Two phrases in that. Love covers and you're a good steward of the grace of God. What he's telling us in there is that God has set up the church to be a family and a body. And the body of Christ is supposed to heal the brokenness of the members of the body of Christ. Each one of you have been given a gift, not for yourself. It is so that you can use your gift as a steward of God's graces to other people. So God's love given to others, God's forgiveness given to others, God's mercy given to others, God's grace given to others. That's your job as the body of Christ. The problem is many of us are sitting in here today with brokenness of the past that has never been healed because we've not brought our brokenness out of the past into the body to allow them to cover us and help us heal. I've taught this concept before, and I'm going to do it real quick now. Just call it the head versus the heart. So you and I have grown up, and everybody in this room has some experience from the past that has wounded or hurt us in some way. If you've had relationships, you've been hurt. When we're hurt in relationships, it wounds our hearts. And when we have a wounded heart, it affects the way we behave, the way we think, the things we believe. We all have brokenness because we've experienced pain. The problem is, most of the time in the church, we try to heal our hearts by informing our heads. The head learns through the accumulation of information. The heart learns through experience. So when I've experienced at a heart level pain in my past and brokenness, I can't heal my heart by informing my head. So me reading more about God's grace and forgiveness helps my head, but it doesn't do anything to heal my heart. But when I bring my brokenness to you and I experience God's grace and forgiveness and love and mercy through you, it begins to heal my heart. The reason we can't leave our past behind is because that brokenness has to be brought into the present so that the body of Christ can use the gifts they've been given to give me the grace that I need to cover and heal my brokenness. We've got to help each other heal our brokenness. You can't leave hurt in the past and find healing in the present. Number four, the fourth thing we need to do that we don't do very well is we need to grieve loss. There's many in this room today that have experienced loss and have never grieved loss. Either maybe you don't know how, maybe you don't want to look at the loss and deal with the pain of it, or maybe you've bought into the lie that Christians shouldn't be sad, they shouldn't find anger and moments of disappointment and frustration, so you think it's unchristian to grieve. And so many of us have not grieved loss in the past. And so we can't really be healthy and live in the future or in the present because we still have attachments to things in the past that aren't even there anymore. Really, that's what grieving is. Grieving is me making a deliberate decision to acknowledge the loss that I've had, the pain and sadness that comes with it, and then let go of that attachment so that I can grab onto something that God has for me in the present. But many of us, if you have not grieved, you're still attached to the past, and the thing you're attached to is not even existing. It may be a person. It may be a relationship. It may be a goal. It may be a dream. It may be an expectation. But if we never grieve it, we'll be stuck attached to it. Listen, here's what Ecclesiastes says, chapter 7, verses 2 and 4. It is better to go to a house of mourning than to go to a house of feasting, because that is the end of every man, and the living takes it to heart. That means the living understands that we will have loss in our lives, that things will end. It goes on to say, sorrow is better than laughter. That don't make any sense. For when a face is sad, a heart may be happy. The mind of the wise is in the house of mourning, while the mind of fools is in the house of pleasure. Ironically, it's sadness and feeling the sadness that can actually move a person out of pain and into happiness. But we don't want to feel the sadness. We don't want to feel the pain. Matthew 5 says, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." Many of us have never received comfort because we've never mourned. So when we don't deal with sadness and we don't deal with anger, we get stuck in this frozen grief. We end up in a place of depression. When you do not deal with anger and you don't deal with sadness, I promise you, you will end up in a place of depression. But according to Ecclesiastes, if I'll rest in the sadness, if I'll allow my face to be sad, if I'll cry, if I'll deal with the loss, my heart can become happy again, because it releases me from the attachment of the thing that used to be behind me. So you see, this myth of just leave the past behind actually keeps us stuck in a place where we don't mourn and we don't grieve and we're not sad about our loss. And so our present never becomes happy because we haven't grieved properly what's in the past. It don't say, "Blessed are those who leave the past behind." It says, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted." The final way that we destroy this myth of leaving the past behind is real simple. I'm not going to get any amens. We confess sin. Amen. Yeah, yeah. See, part of our problem is our present misery is because we don't know how to recognize sin and confess sin. So we keep repeating the same pattern. Because I haven't actually called that terrible attitude, that terrible behavior, the stuff I grew up with, I haven't actually named that sin. So I'm going to keep repeating it because I'm not willing to confess that thing. Listen, hold on. Have you ever seen families, generation after generation, repeating the same things? Grandpa did it. Daddy struggled with it. I struggle with it. My son's struggling with it. And some of you guys take the inevitable, I'm out of control approach. Well, amen. Old Testament tells me in Exodus, the sins of the father go to the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generations. Old Testament also tells you that God will hold you accountable for your sin, not your father's sin. Also tells you that if you confess and repent, that God will deliver you from it. So your parents' sin does not make it inevitable that you will. You can break the cycle at any time. My point is, sometimes we grew up in sinful patterns. I would say some of you grew up in environments that were not just hurtful, not just dysfunctional, not just abusive. I would call them evil. And so then what you do is you go, well, me right now, I don't do as bad as they did. And instead of acknowledging and calling that thing sin and then looking at yourself and going, okay, so you're not beating your kid, but you're still getting in their face and yelling at them. You may not have actually touched them, but the way you get up over them physically might as well be abusive. So you're dismissing your current sin because it's not as bad as the past you grew up in. Call your sin, sin. Confess your sin. Again, confessing sin is always tied to the past because you can't confess what you didn't just do. So I did it, but I don't leave it. I bring it forward so that I can confess it. And when you refuse to confess the sin of the past, you're guaranteed to repeat what you had done to you. Some of you got hurt by your parents, and now you're hurting your kids. Some of you developed and experienced untrustworthiness, and now you're untrustworthy. If you don't confess what you did in the past, recognize the patterns that you did, you will be guaranteed to repeat them. It takes insight and confession. That's it. And confession's twofold. You know this. 1 John 1:9, I confess to God so that he forgives me. James 5:16, I confess one to another so that we can pray for each other and find healing. It's both and, both and. Our confession of sin is upward for forgiveness and horizontal for healing. That should be a regular pattern of our lives. If you don't regularly confess your sin to somebody, I guarantee you keep repeating the same thing. And God will keep forgiving you, but I'm sure there's a point where God, I don't want to speak for God. I'll just stop myself. We confess one to another for healing. So if you're stuck in a sin pattern that you keep confessing to God, but you're not finding any freedom or healing, let me encourage you to find somebody else you can trust and confess it to them. I promise you the freedom in exposing your stuff will allow you to walk in the freedom that Christ died to give you. So listen, you cannot change your past. But that also means you don't leave your past behind. We may not be able to change it, but we can bring the darkness into the light. We can forgive people who have hurt us, whom we're holding unforgiveness towards, and we can bring that to the light. We can take our brokenness and we can bring it forward so that the body of Christ can help us heal it. We can take our losses and we can bring them forward so that we can grieve the loss and unattach from the thing of our affection so we can grab onto something better that God may have for us in the present or in the future. We can grab our sin and we can confess it. And I'm telling you, when we're willing to go grab our past and bring it into the light of God's grace, if we're able to go take the lies of our past and bring them to bear with the truth of God's word, that's where we begin to move the misery in our lives and begin to walk in a healthy place wherever we're at today. Listen, if you forget nothing else today, I want you to hear this. An unresolved past will always lead to an unhealthy present. So do not leave the past behind. Let's pray. Father, we are grateful for your word and your ability to redeem anything in our lives. Father, for those of us in here today that you've been speaking to, and there's some things that we thought we left behind, but we now recognize are very present in every interaction we have today. God, I pray that you would reveal those to us. God, give us the courage to go back and grab some of those pain points, some of those moments of hurt and unforgiveness, some of those moments of brokenness, some of those moments of loss. God, help us to go grab those and just bring them into your light so they lose all power and so you can redeem them in a way that we can't redeem on our own. God, I pray that you would use us as a body to be the kind of people that our love covers each other, that the graces that you've given us that we're able to give to one another so that we can walk in freedom and find healing. Father, remove our belief that it's okay to just leave the past behind. But God, bring us to a place where we understand your scripture says we just need to bring it to the light, and your light will take care of any darkness. You can redeem our past no matter what it's been. God, we ask for healing today for those in here who need to bring things to the present so you can take care of them. In Jesus' name, amen.